July 5th, 2014, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Once again, aboard Pride of Cucamonga, Skipper Jeff's boat. It's just me and him. Twofer in the outer harbor right now.
Mano, we
welcome
mano.
Aboard. Mano, mano. I thank you for welcoming me. That's their little band. I hit the mouse accidentally, people, with the camera, so I remedied that by taking the camera off. But I want to thank you, Skipper Jeff, for once more having me aboard Pride of Cucamonga. Here we're near the Angel's Gate now, which is opening in the breakwater.
You got a gorgeous vintage sailboat coming out without his.
Yeah, that's old time.
That's he's got a big pilot house, big windows. It sure is pretty.
He's a foot.
He's under power. I'm guessing 50 at least.
Big cabin, huh?
Big windows, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what that one is. You were asking me when we went out a couple of weeks ago, what kind of boat's that? What kind of, you know, there's so many, and especially if you go into the back channel there where we were by the chowder barge, there's some of them are homemade. Some boats are bastardized. They're cross-production boats, and people will take the hull and finish them off themselves, so, you know.
Saying is easy, just Ford Chevy, this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so.
Skip Jeff, when was the first time you were in a boat? How old were you?
Probably 7 or 8, and Dad bought a 16-foot open sailboat, meaning no cabin, and we lived in Redding, California, and took it out probably Lake Shasta. And, Dad, fixed us all up, got us the little Gilligan's hats and what else? Yeah, we got pictures. I've been going through the family archives recently trying to scan and digitize.
Was the Gilligan hat, the sailor hat upside down, right? Inside out.
Basically, yeah, we had them upside down.
You know what the idea of that was? It's Balin bucket.
Oh,
that's what my pop said. That he said they weren't much good in a fight. Especially with the England sailor, because they painted their hats.
Yeah.
He said they'd always go for the teeth. So you always watch the brim of those things. But ours, a little, they called him the Dixie Cup or the soft guy. But all that parts of the uniform, he told me, all had a mission. And the mission of that device was a Balin.
Yeah, it makes sense. Huh. I never realized that. But yeah,
okay, so you were just a passenger, or did you crew for him? How old was he?
Yeah, 7 or 8. So, no, he started teaching us, and I was the oldest of 5 kids. So I picked up a lot of it then. And then by the time I was 10, Dad, we moved to Washington from Redding, California, and he bought a 33.
Roma?
No, we were in Bremerton.
Okay.
And he bought a 33-foot Islander sailboat, brand new. And so the first thing Mom did was get us all enrolled in the swimming classes at the Y. But
you didn't know how to swim before?
Oh no, I knew how to. I was swimming.
Better.
Yeah, but you know, my siblings were a lot younger than me, and those early pictures of us up on Lake Shasta. Yeah, we all had life jackets on.
Was Turntable Lake there yet?
Jeez, I couldn't tell you. I don't remember.
That was made out of a reservoir. I think even Shasta's made from just damming it up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can see the way the shoreline just comes up on the side of the hills.
Yeah. We go out there in the summertime. I remember it hot as hell, and the ice box would be full of Shasta sodas and Fresca. Remember Fresca?
Yeah. It was a weird kind of lemon
weird,
lime.
It was like Zima without the alcohol.
And Shasta sodas, they had them here.
Yeah.
But they were like Econo versus Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
So Lake Salen that would have been 64, 65. And then by the time I was 10, I was picking up a lot more because we were sailing on Puget Sound. I was the oldest of 5, so I was Dad's first mate. And I think it was my 11th birthday.
Still in the same boat?
No. Does Dad have the same boat?
No.
Oh, the bigger boat.
Became the first mate.
It was the bigger boat when we moved to Washington.
Past that 30-footer, did you get another one?
He hung on to that boat until we had to move inland in, 71. And so we were boatless for 3 years when he got a job as a newspaper editor of the Walla Walla Union Bulletin. And so we were So I got to go through 3 years of high school uninterrupted. We moved a hell of a lot, Dad's journalistic career.
How'd you get the boat around? On a trailer?
Well, no, we had boats when we stayed in certain towns. When we were in Reading, we had the 16-footer. When we were in Bremerton, which was, how many years was that? 6 years, we had the 33-footer. Okay. And then Dad dumped that. So we were boatless from like 72 to 75. 75, he bought a small 25-footer. That he ultimately sailed to Alaska.
Thank you. home, my new family home. 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 Yeah.
to see him, well, this is out to see him. If you think that's a joke, this is you, I hope. If you think that's a sin, well, this is our sin. If you think that's a joke, this is you, I hope. This is you, I. This is you, I. This is you, I. This is you, I. Poke. Poke.
would want to tattoo inanities inside of their eyes? While deeper a soul, psyche, or brain may be disguised, wiping perceived slights of the day, away by rote, ratted matter dithers to tatters, integrity shatters, as surely as weather, who'd rather be bothered indeed? Unless a need arisen to feed upon shriven cattle, fog enshrouded with hard oaken ignition enacted, by factions demanding, slavering to punch pedals, avoiding exposure and builds anew on verge to view, artifice in thought by ledger domain. Presto! One and two and a carnality in threes seems hoved of lizard brains. Gentle the sunder from sentient plunderers who'd burn everything created before in Roman orgiastic excess, demonstrably making moot points nonetheless, not whirling reason, nor rather seemingly nearly perceived, haphazard, limpid glints, spray and sparkling truth. What time for wonder amid this cacophony, sprinkled in our cranial crenellations, simply savor the swimmingly simple spylights, shined on that secret tooth and lap gleefully their undelible bites. From nearly improbable dimensions, determined faces diverted toward an indeterminacy of virtual mirrors, spilling instant likenesses of recognition between interlacing suspensions. So be told, hold on, behold, and beware. Channeled bits of esoterica chewed through to the everyday by blogged tudes to meld teeny bops into Dixieland. If only until the next click, ought we to tell others what we smell. Probably best to leave Mother alone, or we'd actually destroy all her plants and shit into every glass untended. Somehow, she'd know exactly the intent, seen but rarely heard. Some say it's out there, the new music likened to the children of old, upheld by sails and a digital diaspora, so flimsy it floats on puff, heavy as fly wings, fandom du jour. You know, uncared for after, but the spastic folks, they veered away. Magazine ads and TV, our last muse, rather chime of beetle step and sand, rather sun an echo, snapped in leaf clutter, we just got it. Never knew, only newly known. Blown in our nappy whale holes again. What crazy fat neediness sucks this time? It may only be insecurity and bias unleashed, but you're some kind of cocky-ass blunderbeast, arrested by thought, riding all the fake trips out on the street.
there, boy. We'll show these fascists what a couple of hillbillies can do. Well, I'm gonna tell you, fascists, you may be surprised. People in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose. You fascists, bound to lose.
For Pedro show. Well, we know what's going on. There's a lot of fighting.
Yeah, they took over the, what is it?
Some of them.
ISIS took over one of the refineries.
It's really ISIL, because they use the old word for Syria, which was the Levant.
But they took over.
Which I wish they'd use, because ISIS was one of these, she's married to Osiris.
Yeah.
But Bobby Dylan's got a song called that, I think. Hey, people, you just heard Sea Bloom from Tom Gallo started off, then Running Dog by Streeters. That's got John from Fleshy's. Me, Tom, Raul, we're going to play with him soon here at Harold's in a couple weeks when I get back from New York City. Neon Gods and Funeral Strippers by Dirty Beaches. Something brand new from Kerry Floyd, Relative Spirit. Om Mani Padme Hum. That must be a mantra. After that, this is Obscene Seven Neurotics out of Lyon, France. From the new Cuz record, France Gnarl. Yeah, I might. No, I am going to England to do some radio stuff with Brother Sam regarding that at the end of the month. Chuba Motto from their latest album, Hotel Valentine. Peer group with Xmas in Purgatory. That's a recent release from Underwater Bridge. Kyoka. Her new album, Initial A Blin. Some vowels are missing, so maybe I fucked that up. I'm sorry. Apex Phase Grifted, or The Partiality of Execution. Brothers Chris Groger out of Austin, Texas. From Pittsburgh, Tobacco with Omen Classic. The OC's Opposition with Maracas. They're the city, but I think originally Providence. And then Woody Guthrie from a live broadcast from his show, All You Fascists Bound to Lose. How long you've had this boat here?
12 years.
12 years. And she's from the 70s, right? She's an Erickson.
1973 Erickson.
Right. 27 foot.
Built down in Santa Ana, Costa Mesa area. Yeah.
Erickson, like kind of Scandinavian name.
Yeah.
Fitting for a sailor. E-R-I-C-S-O-N.
There's many spellings of that name.
Right. And many. They don't build them anymore, right? When was the last one built?
No. Probably mid-90s. A company called Pacific Sea Craft took over the last three molds of some of the larger boats, the 33, 38, and I forget what the other one was. And so they kept producing them. It doesn't look like it. That company went belly up somewhere in the early 2000s, and then a guy bought that company and moved it out to North Carolina, and the rumor, or the news I've heard, is the Erickson hulls didn't make it. You know, they make a mold, you know. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So they lay up fiberglass in the mold, fiberglass matting. Yeah, great designs, still desirable boats.
All right, we're at the end of the first hour. Watch Pedro's show. July 5th, 2014, with Skipper Jeff on board Pride of Cucamonga. Hold tight for hour two. No, we played with Screaming Trees. People, July 5th, 2014, second hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
Igualito que otros tantos, de niño aprendí a sudar. No conocí las escuelas, ni supe lo que es jugar. Me sacaban de la cama por la mañana temprano, y al ladito de mi papá fui creciendo en el trabajo. Con mi pura habilidad me la di de carpintero, de estucador y albañil, de gaspiter y tornero. Pucha, que sería bueno haber tenido instrucción, porque de todo elemento el hombre es un creador. Yo le levanto una casa o le construyo un camino, le pongo sabor al vino, le saco mito a la fábrica, voy al fondo de la tierra y conquisto las alturas, camino por las estrellas y hago surco a la espesura. Aprendí el vocabulario del amo, dueño y patrón. Me mataron tantas veces por levantarles la voz, pero del suelo me paro porque me prestan las manos, porque ahora no estoy solo, porque ahora somos tantos.
Thank you. never liked me, so I said, fuck you. You know that you don't like me, and I don't like you. You never listen to my point of view. I'm telling you, why don't you all drop dead, you fucking fool? It's you who lose. You never wanted me, so I say, fuck you. So I say, fuck you!
Watt from Pedro Show, start off the second hour on board Pride of Cucamonga. We're out in the sea now, Pacific Ocean, outside the breakwater. Way out.
You got the... about a half mile.
Yeah.
From the lighthouse.
I've been to the third one out. You know, they've got the marker buoys. Yeah.
Wow.
Start second hour off with El Hombre Es Un Creator, Victor Jara. Much respect to him. Chapecheo Parlamentario, Familia Miranda. After that, they're Chile guys out of Barcelona. Matematico Thomas Betunizer, they're out of Valencia. Growth Yurga Vampire. Vampire. Omega is the Alpha from Sydney, Australia. Block, up, out of Tokyo. God damn it.
Whistle.
You Hate Me and I Hate You, GGL and the Jabbers. I think that's New Hampshire. Cycle One, the Hysterical Injury. Got to play with them in London a couple months ago. White Knight with Foreign Exchange. That's Kid Kevin. San Pedro, California, originally Anaheim. And then finally Aaron Oppenheim with 10th. I don't know where he's from, but it's interesting music. So Skipper Jeff, tell me about first time you sailed alone.
Yeah, you were asking me about that. And so I can't discount racing sailing dinghies. So, yeah, we had a 10-foot tender, a boat that that you use to get from the mothership, the big boat we had, the 33-footer, when you need to get to shore, say if we were anchored off an island or if we, anyway. And but it also was a sailing dinghy, so it had a centerboard that you slid down and into the middle of the cockpit of the boat, and yeah, it was a pretty quick little boat, and I competed with the yacht club we were in. Watt, if you look up there, the third flag down with the triangle-shaped flag, red and with a star, that's the flag from 66 from the Bremerton Yacht Club. But I used to race, you know, all the kids, you know, would race these dinghies.
I think Bremerton has a sub base.
So,
or is that Evan?
Yeah, it was Trident. Marines,
right.
It's on Hood's Canal.
My memory is.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's on the other side of the peninsula. But anyway, so, yeah, I don't recall, you know, I mean, I would sail the big boat when accompanied by my dad when I was 10, 11, 12. 13, but I raced the dinghies. I won him a lot of life jackets and boat cushions. Those were the prizes awarded. And that's the best way to learn is on a little boat with a simple setup with maybe just a mainsail and, you know, and a main sheet, which is a line to handle the sail.
I see these 5 and 6 year olds doing it there in Mother's Bay, you know, Long Beach.
Yeah.
Let's hear some more tunes.
as a dynamic paradox, flowing between the pure and the applied, the existential and the deterministic, and the holy and the profane. It is concerned. It is concerned with individuality, collectivity, and our navigation of the complex relationship between the built world and the natural world and other people and ourselves. It's a place to build objects or totems. Religions or websites, revolutions or business models, paintings or galaxies. Sees itself, offers itself. Sees itself, offers itself. General introduction, general introduction.
Recently, I renamed my tire iron the Hamburglar Helper, and it's been working out great.
We'll be right back.
So what you heard was, rest of the music for this second hour, start off with Daga Bloom out in Orange County, Born to be Brown, Chicano Batman after that with Lisa Andriando, Farewell Adebaran by Devin, Gary, and Ross after that, a tune for Earl across the way from San Pedro Slim, right from this town, Crab Crusher, Insect Surfers. You don't want to be a crab crusher, do you?
Or an egg.
Yeah, General. Oh, they're great. They're a surf band out of D.C. The cat, Dave, he's been on the show. He's lived here for years. He also is the lead singer for the Raw Power Rangers with Don Bowles. Yeah. They got to do their whole thing in front of James Williams.
Oh, they do the Raw Power cover?
The whole album.
Yeah.
And Silver Pants, dude. Dave's pretty good, but he also plays good lead guitar. General introduction, God... The God in Hackney, after that, Hamburglar Helper, Bob Schreiner, live at the Redwood. And I Can't Believe You Wanted to Be Crazy by Deep in the Woods, 66. That's from Jimmy outside of Dublin. And then finally, Frightwig with Hear What I Say from the city up there, the, just a short tour album from Eric Drew Feldman. So, when did you get to take that bigger boat by yourself?
It wasn't until 75 when my dad bought the Bayfield 25. And we had a house not quite on the water on Lake Washington. We were at a cul-de-sac and we rented a dock from a neighbor there. So we are on Lake Washington. So a lot of practice single-handed on Lake Washington. So I'm guessing I was 20. You know, and then Dad let me take it up to Canada, San Juan Islands, Victoria, you know, by myself. You have to go from Lake Washington through the locks. They have locks just like they do on the...
There's a canal.
Yeah, just like Panama, but smaller, to go from freshwater to saltwater.
Shit, they got them in the city of London.
Yeah.
You know, from the little canals, yeah. There's little locks.
Yeah, Lake Washington
is... You have to get out and do your own dealio. They're so small.
Yeah, well, Lake Washington's above sea level, so, it takes a bit of an effort to get from the freshwater, Lake Washington, to the saltwater, because you have to go under, I think, two or three drawbridges that you have to sound to get them to raise the bridges. Then you got the locks to contend with, and then once you're in salt water, then you can go all the way out to the open ocean. Puget Sound's amazing. There's so many places to go and tie up. There's state parks and there's islands within the sound itself. So, I think I really got my chops sailing on Lake Washington in my late teens, early 20s, and .
When did you get your first boat? Your own boat.
My first own boat. Much later in life, it wasn't until 2000. I bought a 22-footer called a McGregor. It was a trailer boat, but I kept it on the trailer up in Oxnard, and then they used a hoist to put it in the water, and I would sail to the Channel Islands up there, Anacapa, Santa Cruz, and just around. Oxnard area, Ventura area, which is...
No freshwater, all ocean sailing.
Well, yeah, other than Lake Washington and then...
No, I mean when you got your own boat and came down south here.
Yeah, I had to learn. I learned that blue water sailing, open ocean, was a lot different than lakes and Puget Sound. Because you're really facing the elements with the waves, the swell, and up there in... Channel Islands, there's a saying, they say if you can sail Channel Islands, you can sail anywhere. There's an area there in the Santa Barbara Channel they call Windy Lane, and it's notorious for getting the Santa Anas. You get a vortex that comes from the Santa Ynez Mountains, and I've been caught in some nasty stuff up there. So
I think you, one of the time I asked you the scariest thing, and you said there was a voyage.
Scariest day of my life was anchored in Santa Cruz Island with this too small a boat, December 9th, 2001. I wrote like a 3-page log entry. About 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I heard this bump. I was anchored in Smuggler's Cove, and then I stuck my head out the hatch and noticed that we were dragging anchor and dragging out of the cove, and the winds were already whipping up to like 30 knots at that point, and so there were like four other boats there, and I asked them what they were going to do, and they were going to, we're getting out of here, it's going to get worse, and it's about 18 miles back to the mainland, and sure enough, it was hairy. I had a passenger with me that was useless. He got seasick. We had big seas right off the bat. Once we got out of the protected side of the island, the lee of the island, we were facing 12-foot breakers. Dealt with that for probably 10 hours that day. Came back with torn sails, broken hatches, probably bailed about 40 gallons of water out of the boat. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but you know what Ishmael said?
What did he
live to tell the tale?
Live to tell the tale. There's a lot to this tale, like I told you.
You read Moby Dick and you read about Ishmael, right? He's the dude who makes it.
Yeah, there's, like I said, 3-page log entry. I drowned the cell phone right after I talked to the family and a friend and told him about my situation. My friend Todd, who you know what, he actually called the lifeguard or the Coast Guard on my behalf. But they weren't going to go out there until they heard something. But no, I took in a reef on the main. We sailed back on one sail, the mainsail alone, and like I said, it was a lot of battering getting back, and I had more problems. My GPS was out and was in the shop, so I was on compass alone. And it was hard. One thing I remember, it was hard to differentiate the coastline because the whole shore was getting hit by breakers. So what I thought was a sandy beach was just a wash of water on rocks, you know, from a distance. And we ended up farther north. We ended up closer to Ventura. And then it took me about a half an hour to turn the boat around to get going down south again to Oxnard. And finally, when I get close to shore, I told my buddy, who'd been puking for hours, that he needed to help me and grab the radio, which was already on the emergency channel 16, and call the Coast Guard and tell them to come out, and they might have to scrape us off the rocks, because I didn't know if the motor wouldn't do you any good. I had an outboard motor, and the swells were so big, the motor would come out of the water and would overheat, you know, because it needs to pump water to cool. And so I had to do it sailing alone, and I was drifting towards the rocks hard. And there's a lot of technical aspects I could tell you about how I got in that predicament. But by the time the Coast Guard came, we had caught like a wave and surfed it down into the southern entrance of the harbor. I was trying for the north entrance, but that was a no-go. And then the Coast Guard comes flying in, and they zipped up, and I was in a daze. My lips were bloodied because one of the lines on the boat, the main sheet, kept slapping me through the day. I must have looked like hell. And they asked me, "Skipper," they go, "You got a motor on that boat?" And I'm like, you know, by this time I'm in the safety of the harbor, and I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, I get the outboard down and going, "Skipper, can you get your sails down?" It's like, yeah. "Anybody else on board?" And I go, yeah. "Where is he?" I go, he's really sick, seasick. So they were much more concerned about the seasickness, because that can really debilitate somebody with the dehydration, which he needed. So then I didn't know. I was kind of naive to sailing off the offshore of California and what it was like if you got assistance from the Coast Guard. And they wanted me to follow them to their office, and I didn't want to do that. I had a yacht. I was a member of a yacht club up there. I wanted to go tie up there, but so I was able to get the sail down, get in, get tied up, and they immediately came on board, got my friend off, who was just shivering and shaking and white as a ghost, and then they hauled him to into the hot showers with the marina manager, and you know, put a emergency blanket on him, and they worked on him quite a while. But
I'm glad you both made it. We're at the end of the second hour, July 5, 2014, Dish of Wife Pedro Show, aboard Pride of Cucamonga. Pedro in the distance.
Don't float to that long.
Hold tight for hour three. July 5th, 2014. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Boys, don't do it. Do not obey. Don't shoot at the striker. It may be you one day. Of the world, awaken, break your chains, demand your rights. All the wealth makers taken by exploiting parasites.
your finger off the trigger, I warned you, stroking a wildcat.
Now we've tied up at the Harbor Cut, downtown 6th Street, next to the Maritime Museum. We went into Fish Harbor there, got to see the Terminal Island Memorial, and then hoofed on over to Harbor Light Chow Pad, but because of July Independence Day things, it was Cerrado closed, so we go back another time. So we didn't get to Chow, but we got to explore good stuff. And second time we've tied up here. Last time we did the show, we tied up. And that was the second day it was open.
It's on the way home, man.
On the way home. And so, well, I should tell you, we opened up the third hour with John, Tom, and Joe, Howie Reeve. Attention, Dark World of Gratification by Cascade and Liquid Rainbows. Shake by the Extract. Guns Rewild. And then some bass, Samuel Calot, Henri Texier, Vulture Grip, Bertram Turetsky, Mr. Turetsky, incredible virtuoso, bass man of the extended technique on the double bass. I had pleasure meeting him and getting to rap with him. He's incredible. Damon Smith. And then Damon Smith with Peter Kowald with Reflections on April 28th, 3. Toe Punt with I White. And finally, The Gears. Everything's all right. They got a new album. Skip, Jeff, what do you think you learned from that close call at the fucking Channel Island?
Yeah, respect, big time. And I learned because I grew up sailing protected waters, inland waterways of Puget Sound and lakes. And, you know, I've been across some heavy seas up there, straight to Juan de Fuca. But sailing offshore in California, especially in the wintertime, deserves maximum respect. And all of sailing's a learning experience. I had a little bit of a departure from sailing from when I lived in Washington and moved to L.A. in 82 and didn't get my first boat until 2000. So
you didn't sail that whole 18 years?
No, I'd go up and use Dad's boat. But when Dad sold his boat, that's when I decided to get my first boat as an adult.
So you used his boat for like 18 years?
When I go up and visit, yeah. He and I would go and do little trips, you know. So, but then tides turned. His boat was gone. He'd fly down here and sail with me, and he was doing that. He's 90 now. He was doing that well into his 80s.
And yeah, that's respect.
Yeah, we.
Let's play some more music.
Of you, we're gonna be gone. We'll be right back.
The Harbor Cut, Fireboat 2 house on one side, Maritime Museum on the other. We can hear the gangway creaking. We heard the Mau Mau's doing Laugh Track.
Nice.
Skipper Jeff Dow's a big Mau Mau's fan after last week's show.
And Berlin Brass.
And Berlin Brass, yeah. Rick Wilder. Purgatory by Mind Grenade, Ruined by the Lemon Limes, Adagio for String Things, David Garrard. Domesticated Octopus Seen Walking the Streets of South Korea by Errors of Metabolism. And finally, Squadra by Billions of Comrades. Skipper Jeff, what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to get involved with sailing?
Well, you know, there's my advice and the way I like to roll. I'm kind of like a solo sailor, so, you know, and the fact I grew up with it, but, so, you know, I got into yacht clubs. Dad was a member of a yacht club, and I enjoyed the sport right off the bat, so that's good advice. Yacht clubs aren't for me right now, but there's that, and you don't have to own a boat if you join a yacht club, and there's some smaller yacht clubs too, like in San Pedro we got Buccaneer Yacht Club and Hurricane Gulfs that are small, and a lot of people that are members don't own boats. And so if you want to check it out.
It costs a lot of money to own a boat, right?
Yeah, that's, and some of these are Econer Yacht Clubs, the two I just mentioned, Buccaneer and...
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because when you hear the word yacht club, you're probably thinking booze. Yeah. But all it really means is boats.
Yeah, there's Buccaneer and Hurricane Gulch locally. And
this is SoCal people.
Yeah, if you talk about... but then we got the high end right in Pedro. We got L.A. Yacht Club, you could be paying $5,000 a year in dues or something. Cabrillo.
This ain't the slip, people. This is just belonging to the club.
Yeah. So, you know, there's different types of clubs. But also advice, start with small boat, you know, little dinghy, Sunfish, Laser. There's a lot of places that rent them. I know San Diego, Mission Bay, you can rent boats. Not sure what the story is around here in Pedro. There's also cruising clubs that you can join, where you don't have to own a boat, but you can, once you pass their little tests, and I can't think of any offhand, but you pass their little tests and they approve you, you can rent out a boat for a weekend, take it all the way to Catalina based on your experience and what level of approval they've given you. I want to say SunSail is one of the big worldwide ones. But I met a cat at Catalina last summer, and he was on one of these rental boats, and it's an expensive hobby to own a boat like mine, 27 feet.
Well, we're just talking sailing. We're not talking about owning, because
So
your advice is start sailing before you start thinking about owning.
Absolutely, yeah. So, and it's one of those things. It's kind of like the Grateful Dead. You either like it or you don't, you know. It's like I get people on board. Oh yeah, they want to go, and then once they get out there, and boat starts healing a little bit too much. They're like, take me back. I reconnected with an ex girlfriend who's lived in Phoenix for years. Names not to be told. She came out last October with me, all excited to go on the boat. And as soon as we get out there and the boat leans over about 20 degrees, she was like, get me out of here.
That shit her. Okay.
Yeah. It can be the best roller coaster ride you've ever had in your life, or you know, if you're into that kind of thing. You better like roller coasters.
Thanks so much for taking me aboard. I like roller coasters.
There you go.
And I thoroughly enjoyed our voyage today. Skipper Jeff, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Having me aboard. Good people, this has been the July 5th, 2014 edition Watt for Pedro show at sea here in Praia da Cucamonga. Be with you, I think next week I'll do a show from New York City, because I got to do an album there with Nels Klein, Greg Sarnier, and Nick Reinhardt. So till then, keep your powder dry.
Keep your powder.